Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
This is the D Word Podcast, where we talk dementia. Good to have you company for another edition of the D Word Podcast. On this edition, my guest is Sam Dondi-Smith, who is a founding partner of the National Dementia Care Accreditation Scheme and co-author of Waiting for a Bus, a book about personalised dementia care. Sam, it's excellent to welcome you to the D Word. We've got a lot to fit in. Before we get on to all that, can you give us a quick précis, perhaps, of, you know, how did you get involved in working in this whole area?
Okay, so probably need to go back a few years to the work that I was doing in the mental health team down in Kent, which is where I'm based. So I started work as a support worker in a dementia-specific service within the mental health team called the Home Treatment Service. So we went in to support care providers to try and keep people where they were so they didn't have to go into acute mental health hospitals. And that's where I kind of got the bug, as it were, for understanding and supporting people to live well with dementia. So I then went on to do my training as an occupational therapist, and then went back into mental health, both functional and organic. And I've been working in mostly in dementia care ever since. I've learned along the way that dementia is only part. Is a very small part of an individual, so it's more about the person than the dementia that makes them up, and so a lot of the work that I do is trying to support people and teams to understand that dementia is more about or should be looked at more around dementia care, which is more about people and is about the heart rather than dementia, the condition, which is obviously more about the brain.
Really, it's a case of look at the person, don't look at the condition, isn't it? Now, the National Dementia Care Accreditation Scheme, I've got to admit, the first thing that comes to mind, I guess, Sam, is haven't we always had one?
Well, sadly not. So, I mean, it's one of the things that I think when I was working in with care providers in mental health services, the challenge for a lot of providers is that they don't know, they didn't really know what good looks like and what the evidence base was all about. So the accreditation scheme really is around trying to be the bridge between research and best practice and actually improving the care for people who are living with dementia, who are in that kind of transitionary period from going from the community into care homes. So I wanted to set something up with a team of practitioners to try and bring together a lot of that research into an easy to kind of digest scheme that providers could then be nurtured through in order to improve their practice. And bottom line is, is improving people's lived experience and making sure that and with my OT, my occupational therapist hat on, it's usually around getting people to engage in a day in a meaningful way, and that is meaningful to them. Because I do think there is a lot of fear out there that going into a care home is going in to pass away, whereas you can go into a care home and be living well. But the provider needs to know how to support that, how to support each person individually.
Yeah, very important message. The other thing, what was the reaction? Because when people say things like accreditation or stuff like that, they might take the view, it's like your own work marks, if you like. And I'm sure it's not like that, but how do you kind of overcome that?
Yeah, so I mean, I think it's around recognition about the good work that people are doing, but it's also about supporting them on a journey to be even better. And for some providers, especially in the kind of the early days, we've been going about 18 months now. It's there's a little bit of where's this come from? And really, it's come from a, I would say it's come from a gap in that people, providers, care providers, they don't always know what's been out there, what the universities are producing, and so, like I say, the accreditation scheme is there to improve the care, but is there to be nurturing and guiding a provider towards better practice, which I think that there can be a viewpoint of a body or an organization that's grading a home. I don't want to necessarily speak directly to the kind of CQC, but I think there are concerns that when outsiders come in, that they come in with a critical viewpoint, and they come in with an inspector kind of hat on. Whereas what we wanted to put together was something that is non-critical, is developmental, is nurturing, and has that value base of wanting to support providers to be better and to be achieving and working towards a goal. So that's the why, I guess, behind the accreditation scheme, is that there hasn't been there's great work out there, but there hasn't been a body or an organization that's kind of tried to collate a lot of that work. And then guide providers to improve their practice. So that's what it's about.
Yeah, we looked at, some of the negative aspects of someone coming in, I guess, with the inspector's hat on and marking you out of 10 and reaction to that. But also, on the positive side, there must be a lot of people out there that are doing things and wondering, well, am I doing the right thing? And, a whole scheme like this is something that really validates the good practice that they've been doing.
Exactly. And the nice thing is that as we work with more providers, then we're able to share the stuff that some providers are doing that's fantastic, that you can see has a meaningful impact for people that are living in those communities. We can then share that with the other providers that, are looking to improve, are looking to be doing better things, because there's so many different interventions. There's lots of great new technology out there. There's lots of evidence that comes out around the environment, and around how to engage people in a person-centered way. So it's forever evolving. It's always changing. And it's never going to be that. Well done, you did it. You're there. It's always going to be a matter of, I don't believe there's anything that there is no perfection. There is just wanting to be as good as you can be, and that's what you should be aiming for. And that is that doesn't stop when you get an accreditation or a grade or something like that. So yeah, it's but I do think that it is important. It's an important thing for me to get across that that it is around nurture. Nurture is a really key word for me, in that a lot of providers, they just want a guiding light. They want a roadmap of how to develop. So that's they're the kind of providers, care providers, that we like working with, because the bottom line is we want to make a we make a material difference to people.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series power tool accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price, exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You can catch up on all back editions of The D Word from the website ukhealthradio.com. On this edition, my guest is Sam Dondi-Smith. We've done 280-odd episodes of The D Word, and often find myself talking to people and saying, you know, hey, we talked to this person last week. Have you heard about that? I say, no, we haven't heard about that. What's that all about? And that kind of demonstrates to me that, well, one, it's a really evolving field. But number two, the real difficulty that you have in finding all this information and keeping up to date.
It's very hard. It is hard. And I think often providers might go to, they might go to these kind of shows, these sort of expos, and seeing, new products or services that are out there. That's really great. Any kind of products or services that we would be suggesting or recommending, then we would want to see that there's some research and there's some evidence base behind it. That's then having the meaningful impact on people. But yeah, people, there is loads of stuff out there, and it would be lovely to be able to have a resource kind of hub that people could go to and be able to see the benefits of certain things that are out there, products and services. But yeah, the whole mission is to make a difference, because I, and touch wood, I haven't seen it for a long time, but I still do see it where you walk into a care home and there's nothing going on. The TV's on, but nobody's watching. Lots of people asleep, everybody around a perimeter of a room. Care workers or team members, rushing with a tea trolley or that kind of thing. And that's, for me, I don't think that's a good lived experience for people. And I think people do deserve to be able to live well. So that's my motivation. And the nice thing is when you do work with providers that want to make a difference and want to change, you can go in, you can provide that roadmap, and then you can go back to that home in 6 months, 9 months, or 12 months and see the difference. And that's, for me, that's magic. That's what I want to be doing as much as we can as a team.
With the technology as well, there's loads of technology about, and I see you've been working with Social Ability. And John and Sam have been on the show, I think about 6 months ago with that. So it's nice to kind of join all those things together.
You know what? There's a really good network of passionate people that are leading the way. And I, you know, there's Social Abilities, one of those organizations that's really pushing it, and is finding those people with the passion that want to make a change in the world. And you can meet up, I meet up with John outside of work, and make plans for wanting to do that, because that's what we're all about. He's got a story with his dad, who was living with dementia. It's so powerful. And whilst, touch wood, I haven't had any immediate family living with dementia, but I've seen it from the work that I've done since I started working as a support worker in the mental health team. So it's, the motivating factor is always, whatever you're doing, you should be doing it to make a change, and to improving people's lives. Because for as long as there's people, in a care home that are fast asleep with the TV on and nothing's happening, and there's no quality of life there, then that's motivation for me to keep pushing the agenda of improving people's lived experience.
I think the scheme is, a great idea and can really just lead to improvements. Moving on to the book, which you wrote with David Sheard, who coincidentally we've had on the show as well, had a really interesting chat with David. But it's called Waiting for a Bus. One, how did the book come about? And two, how did you get the title?
Yes, so the idea behind the book was that there, so part of the part one of my most favorite parts of the work that I do is to be able to go into a home and conduct to be observing practice. So essentially being on a fly on the wall, and people watching is my most favorite thing in the whole world. So that's something I absolutely love. And one of the things that I kept seeing with these times when people were becoming distressed, and team members were unsure about how to support that person in that moment. And I felt that they're, when I was talking to the team members after something had happened, when somebody's either being overtly distressed or quiet, or they were showing that they were lost, or they were searching for something. I said, well, what would you do? Who would you ask, or where would you go? Would you read something, or would you talk to someone? And the more people I spoke to, more team members I spoke to, they said, well, there isn't really anything that we would look at, because the resources that we've got don't kind of talk to us in a way that we're sort of understanding. And I wanted to, so after doing lots of observations and seeing lots and lots of familiar or similar situations happening, people asking for their mother, or people walking up and down hallways seemingly searching for something, or people looking for someone or something that the team weren't aware of. And I thought, okay, well, if I can start putting together a resource that try to explain to you as team members what how you might be able to support that person at that moment. Would that be useful? And they said, oh yes, that would be really useful. So I then started writing down some of these things that people were saying. The examples in the book, things like, well, what am I supposed to do? There's nothing here. Or where is my room, even though that person is in their own room in the home? Or these people need to get out of my house now. What else is there? Where's my bill? Where is he? I'm lost. And I started writing down some of these phrases that were, they're obviously very personal to people, but they had similarities in different homes. And I started trying to think, okay, well, if I can write some of these down, and I can try and recreate some of these situations that people are to try and get the team to understand someone's lived experience. That's what I wanted to put together. So I thought, okay, I can. And fortunately, although it's not perfect, with the AI tools we have now, you can kind of describe a situation and a scenario, and it can build you up a picture of this scenario. So it's almost like being able to hit the pause button on a situation. So I thought, okay, if I can put these images together with some of this text, and try and talk to and try and provide teams with a model or a way of thinking about how you can support this person in this moment, then that would be I'm hoping that would be useful. So I put it together, and then I fortunately for me, David got in touch, and he moved not that far from me fairly recently, and he said, well, these people are searching for a feeling, aren't they? They're searching for the feelings that these people used to give them. So, this person isn't necessarily searching for their mother or searching for Bill. They're searching for the feelings that those people or those things used to give them. And obviously, I'm sure through the discussions you had with David on the show, his passion is around emotional intelligence and vulnerability, and being able to tap into that to be able to care for people living with a dementia as best as we can. So he very kindly wrote something for this book called The Search, which is a, you know, it's when I read it, when I first read it, it's you know, he's an amazing writer and speaker. It got me right in the guts, and I thought, actually, one of the things that I've learned from David is that you have to understand yourself better in order to understand how to care. And that's what the search, which is the part of the far, part a large part of the book, or the start of the book at least, is all about. It's trying to understand about you before you understand about others.
Yeah, it's I'm really old, but I've gone through and was firstly, you talk about the search, and I thought about that a lot when I read it, and I thought, well, you're trying to reach someone on the inside, and that's difficult enough, for you to do it for me to do it for you, or whatever. But obviously, when you've got dementia complicating the whole ball game, then suddenly, it's almost like you're trying to learn a different language.
Exactly. Language is such a good way of explaining it. And I think, the language of people's dementia comes out in different ways. It can come out in what people say, it can come out in what people do. But the important thing is, in order for us to be as emotionally intelligent as we can be, we have to look within first, which takes time and takes It takes thought, and I think one of the things that is always apparent in the settings that I visit is that it's quite hard to have time to think because days are busy. There's lots to do, and teams are often they can be stretched in terms of their time and what they're doing. And often, they're supporting 30, 40, 50 different people, all with different backgrounds, all with different social psychologies, all with different dementias, because everybody lives with different dementia. Is a really, it's the hardest job in the world, I think, to be someone that's supporting all those people. So what I wanted to do with the book, with David's piece, The Search, is to get it out there, is to write it in a way that is almost like we're talking to the team member. So we're talking to you directly. So it's not kind of written academically. It's not written. It's mostly written in like a first person way, as if I'm talking to them, and or the sections that David wrote, he's talking to the reader. And I think that's the aim, is that's the way to try and touch people, if they can spend the time to read that, to read those parts of the book, in order to then try and process some of these situations or scenarios or moments that people are living through when they're experiencing distress.
One thing definitely with the book is, I think you use the word accessible because I haven't read all of it, but I started looking and I was there. So I think it's a very easy book to get into. Now, within it, you have these five things: observe, reflect, plan, connect, and grow. And I guess the last one of those goes back to what we were talking about with the accreditation scheme and nurturing people, validating their good practice, which then gives them the ability to grow.
Yes. Well, you have to, the you have to be able to, if someone is becoming distressed on a regular basis, you have to have that time, I think, to observe what's happening, to kind of, as long as everybody's safe, that you do it in a way that is trying to process what's happening for that person. And you need that time to observe in order to then reflect. So kind of, thinking about what you could be doing, and then planning something to support that person. And then the important bit is with the kind of the emotional intelligent part, is that you have to connect with that person, how they're feeling, and go on that journey with them, and appreciate and try and understand that person's lived experience. What are they experiencing right now? And that's, again, I do think that is a skill to learn. You don't, if someone has a lived experience that they're working, that they're, they're 35 and they're on their way to work, then you have to then be able to try and interpret that what they're saying or what they're doing, and to try and understand that's because they're searching for a feeling that work, or going out, or the people that are associated with work gave them. It gave them that purpose. It gave them that feeling of belonging and being themselves,
The station that makes you feel good.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why MyLowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
The station that makes you feel good.
Always good to hear from you on the podcast. We're on Facebook, X, Blue Sky, and Instagram as TDW Radio. And the email is tdwradio@gmail.com. Back to my guest now, Sam Dondi-Smith.
You know, I'd say it right at the start, and I always kind of say it if I try and talk to people, that I think that dementia is about biology, but dementia care is about people.
Yeah.
And, you know, and yes, you know, some the person-centred stuff that Hitwood expressed beautifully in his work is that everybody is experiencing dementia differently because everybody is different. But I do think that it's if you're working in dementia care, you have to be fascinated by people. That's like that's the core, I would say, is one of the core expectations that for people that are working as care team members or supporting people living with dementia on a regular basis, you have to, you know, dementia is a part of someone. There's no denying it. The condition is there, but the person and the person behind the condition is so much more important. So you have to be fascinated by people. And you know, if you're not, then it's not the right job for you.
Yeah. You know, I think you're right in taking the, you know, you've got the medical model, haven't you, which is down one path, if you like. But suddenly at the end of the book, The Discovery, and it says previous models looked at behaviour management rather than ask why. And when I read that, I thought, well, that's kind of like going to the doctor. Doctor treats your symptoms, but actually doesn't look for the identifying cause.
No. It's funny you say that, because I'm in the middle of my own personal health issue at the moment, which is, I've had a problem with my eyes for a while, and the doctor has been just like that, purely medical. Let's just give you a painkiller because you, or a problem to treat your eyes, and not looking at the cause. Because bless them, you know, the GPs probably only have 6 minutes with you, and they have to see 50 odd people a day. Yeah. But it's going back to your point. Sorry, I'll digress there. It's important, and that's why I'm a massive believer. If you don't understand what's happening with someone, or you don't understand their language, verbal or non-verbal, then you have to find out about them as an individual. You have to observe what's happening, and you have to think about what feeling are they searching for. You know. And that's where you should be angling your care towards. And it's not always a cup of tea. More often, as much as I love a cup of tea. It's one of the things that this slightly old way of thinking is, oh, people just need distracting. And I think that's very misguided when people are distressed, is talking about a distraction method or, that's the same as putting a plaster on something that is not uncovering what the real issue is. You have to try and discover what that issue is, and again, that takes time. It takes a bit of thinking. But if you're interested in people, then that should, that's part of the problem solved. I think if you've got that fascination, then you will make time to be able to. And actually, the fantastic things. I was in a home yesterday, and we were doing some work with this home on understanding people's lives, understanding their life stories. And the face on the chap when he realized that the lady in front of him was one of the first ever UK water skiers. I know, that's what I did. That's the face I made. And they said this lady was one of the first people ever to get on a water to get on water skis in the UK in the, I don't know when it was, 30s, 40, no, probably not for 30s, probably 40s, 50s maybe. And because they knew that, or because they know that now, because they did a bit of discovering, they did a bit of digging about this lady's life, they have been able to line her up with some, sadly not get her back on the skis, which would have been amazing, but they have organized a trip to go and see some water skiing. But the important thing for me was not about the trip going to see the water skiing, which is fantastic, but it was the difference I could see in this carer's eyes when he was looking at her. He didn't see a lady with dementia. He saw the UK's first female water skier. It's like that. I mean, that's magic for me. Absolute magic. So that, and that's just about finding out about people.
Yeah, absolutely. Time is drawing us to a close, but I can't let you go without mentioning the poem, Dementia Hams, which would you mind reading it to us? Because I think it's
Of course.
really powerful.
Absolutely. Thank you. So and the poem Dementia Happens came about my kind of thinking around there is a significant difference between dementia and dementia care. So I'll read it out. Dementia happens. Dementia happens in the brain. Dementia care happens in the heart. Dementia is about biology, and dementia care is about people. Dementia is about being medical, and dementia care is about being social. Dementia is a disease, but dementia care is a privilege.
That is superb, really is, Sam. I think we should have that on an extremely large poster and put it somewhere, because I think it sums up not only the feelings but also what we've been talking about for the past 40 minutes or so. And it's been an absolute pleasure. Gonna have to get you back on the show to talk to us more about this whole area,
Happy
which
to.
I hope everybody finds really fascinating. And all I can say from a D word point of view, keep on doing what you're doing, and thank you so much for being my guest.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for listening. It's been really nice talking to you.
Thanks to Sam for a fascinating chat, and you can find out more about the National Dementia Care Accreditation Scheme from the website nadcas.org.uk. Well, that's all for this edition. Thanks for your company, and I hope you'll join me again soon for some more Dementia Talk right here on the D Word Podcast.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Hey everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.